not necessarily those that are national Jews, but those that are now spiritual Jews.
Amen.
I've got some things on my mind that I will not be able to finish today or next week or maybe in my whole life. But I want to read this portion of Scripture here in Mark chapter 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." Now this says that he could not do any mighty work there. Does that mean that he didn't have the power to do it? That doesn't mean that. What does it mean? It means that he withheld the mighty works because of their unbelief. Now turn over to Luke chapter 4, and we have a more detailed account of this. Chapter 4 and verse 14. This is right after the devil had tempted him. Luke 4 and 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth." See, that was in Galilee, right? That he was glorified of all. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." Y'all know what that means, don't you? That means where people were accustomed to seeing him. That's where they watched him play with the other kids. They watched him learn his trade at carpentry. They watched him from the time that he was a young boy. For 30 so years they watched him. And 30 years of them watching him, he comes back after his fame had gone round about. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Elijah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place, Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's not the end of that quotation, but that's all that Jesus read. And it goes on in Isaiah. But Jesus stopped because that was as far as he wanted to go with it right there. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Where is this? What's the scene of this account? It's in the synagogue, isn't it? It's in the synagogue. You don't know what a synagogue is, right? A synagogue is a place of worship. And it's not the temple, okay? The temple is like the mothership, okay? And a synagogue is a place in another town where they worship, okay? So it's like a smaller delineation of the temple, but it's just a place of worship outside of the region where the temple was, okay? So what a synagogue is. So that's the scene, and these are the people that Jesus is addressing. I would expect people that were in the synagogue to be ready to worship, wouldn't you? I would. I would expect, and I believe the Lord expects that too. Now, he says to these people, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears?" And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They would have done well if they would have stopped right there. But what did they do? They started to say, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have done, we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." Now, this is words in red, okay? That means that the Lord spoke these words. He knew what they were going to say, what they were accustomed to doing and thinking, the way that they thought. And he says, "You are going to want me. You're going to consider me a physician. Heal thyself." Now, this is a Jewish proverb. Let me just read the rest of it. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." His own country. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," or Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them, none of the people, the widows in Israel, unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now, she was a Gentile widow woman. And the Lord forsook all of the ones in Israel and sent Elias to the Gentile widow at Sarepta. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, that's talking about Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now, Syrians aren't Israelites, are they? No, they're not. But the Lord sent that prophet to a Gentile man when all the other lepers were in Israel. Does that seem strange to you? It seemed very strange to these people. And all they in the synagogue, not talking about at the Red Dog Saloon down there. He's talking about the synagogue. When they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. My subject that I really want to talk about is faith. But I want to get this real quick in verse 23. Jesus tells them, ye will surely say unto me, this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Now, if you were a doctor, if you had a doctor in the family, let me put it like this. If you had a doctor in your family, and you were sick, wouldn't you want that doctor to heal you? I'd want to go to him. He knows me the best. Or she knows me the best. I might get a little bit of special treatment because he's in my family or she's in my family. They might do something for me, and part of this proverb was the feeling of the, or the sense of this proverb was that if you had a doctor in your family, that he was obligated to heal you first because you are in the family. Okay? That's why Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor. They said he's got honor except for one place. And that place is among his own kinfolks and his own people. That's pretty strong stuff, ain't it? And then he goes on and gives them an example of that, about the prophet being sent to the Gentile widow woman instead of all the widows that were in Israel. And then being sent to the leper, the Gentile leper, instead of all the Israelite lepers. You know, God can do what he wants to.
right.
No, he does do what he wants to. He can and does. Regardless of what we think about it. It's called the sovereignty of God.
That's right.
Thy faith hath made thee whole. That has been used several times throughout the New Testament. That, y'all heard it, thy faith. Jesus said it, thy faith hath made thee whole. The intent of miracles was not to showcase people's faith. I'm going to say that again. The purpose of miracles and faith healing was not to showcase the people's faith. There, Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Okay? Did their faith make them whole? Or did Jesus make them whole? Jesus makes them whole. So what's the purpose of faith? That octopus is growing tentacles, you know. First of all, I want us to remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
I mean, that's plain, isn't it? We know that Paul says that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Right? So faith is the key that that grants us access into the faith wherein we stand. It's almost like exercising our faith helps us to see where we already are. And another broad statement about faith is that I want us to remember the reason why God gives us faith. Two reasons. The first and foremost reason that He gives us faith, or that He gave us faith, is for His glory. Not for our being puffed up. Another reason why He gave us faith is so that we could have an opportunity to show God that we trust Him. These are hard things, aren't they? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. That's okay. I do that a lot. You know, the more they reasoned in their unbelief. You know, in Mark 6, where I read that, and it said that Jesus marveled. He marveled. That means He wondered at their unbelief. He wondered. Does Jesus know all things? You ever wonder why somebody that knows all things wonders? You ever wonder about that? I wonder about things that I don't know. Jesus didn't wonder about it because He didn't know it. He wondered about it because it shouldn't have been that way. That's why He wondered. He didn't wonder because He didn't know. He wondered because it shouldn't have been that way. He wondered at their unbelief. See, I'm already off track. This ain't going the way that I thought it was going to slide out. Now, when confronted with decisions, how do we decide? Well, I'm talking about faith now. When we're confronted with decisions, from the smallest things to the things that keep you up at night, how do we decide? How do we decide what to do? There are generally two ways or two choices. You may have more, but generally there's two choices. There's the hard way that is the right way, and there is the easy way that is the wrong way. Right? There's the easy way, and that generally is the wrong way. It's easy if I am looking by sight to be overwhelmed with fear. Right? You remember we talked about this when we were talking about the kingdom of God. I mean, for that year. We've talked about faith a lot during that time. And during that time, it is how we move in the kingdom of God, is by faith. Because he said, the just shall live by faith. Says that faith is not sight. Right? Faith is the absence of looking at things with our natural eyes. It's looking at things with our spiritual eyes and trusting in God's direction. That's what it is. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I want y'all to where is that? The woman that had the issue of blood. Where was that? It was that back at Mark 6. He healed her in 5. He healed a bunch of people, didn't he? Oh, I can't find where it was. Where it said, thy faith hath made thee whole, go thou in peace. He said it to a lot of people. Now, okay. That's when he felt the power come out of him. Right. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Okay. And in verse 30 and 5 and 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And there's no sense in trying to keep something from the Lord, is it? And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master?" This is picking up the story that started before the woman that had the issue of blood, right? So it picks that story back up. As he was on the way to the house. And as soon as, while he yet spake, there came a ruler from the synagogue's house certain, which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue that seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. So they had a bunch, while the ruler of the synagogue was with Jesus, there was a bunch of people crying and weeping and wailing at the house. And Jesus comes in, and they're all crying. And he says, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And all of them, they switched it just like that, from crying to laughing him to scorn. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, the disciples, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. I would be too, wouldn't you? I have been. Haven't you? And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. You try to tell somebody, I don't care whether, I don't want to be blasphemous or anything or wrong, but you try to tell somebody that didn't just see Jesus heal their daughter to keep their mouth shut. Jesus told many people not to say it, but they blazed abroad the matter. Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus told us to keep our mouth shut? Nah, he hadn't. He hadn't. So we ought to blaze abroad the matter a little bit, shouldn't we? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Did her faith, let me say it differently. Did the exercising of her faith make her whole? And what was the purpose of all the miracles? Was it to showcase those people how strong those people's faith was? No. It was for the glory of God.
Right.
Amen. I want us to remember that faith initially, and a lot of the time in the scriptures, is a noun. You can't exercise something that you don't have, right? And of course, we know that faith is a fruit. That's what it is. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's given to us by God, isn't it? So it is, if something's given to us, then it's something real. It's something, it's a noun. It's a thing. I don't know exactly what that thing looks like, but it's a thing. And that thing is on the inside. And if you don't have that thing, you can't please God. But if you have that thing and don't use that thing, you're not going to please God. You're capable of pleasing God, but if you don't use that thing, you won't do it. Is that an amen? Can I hear a confirmation? Do you believe that? If you say amen, you believe it. I don't want to get you to say something that you don't believe. But if you have something on the inside that God gave you, and He gives you opportunities to exercise and prove to Him that you trust in Him by exercising your faith, does it puff you up or does it give glory to God? It gives glory to God, doesn't it? That brings up another point that we won't be able to get to today. But I want you to read about it when Jesus talked to them about forgiveness. And He says, if you and a brother have a problem, or your brother does something off against you, and He said, reprove him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he comes to you 7 times in a day, I'm guessing for the same thing, and I'm guessing that he expects us to reprove people 7 times for the same thing, and if they repent 7 times and you forgive them 7 times, and the disciples tell him, they ask the Lord a question. They say, Lord, increase our faith. Or they gave a request. They said, increase our faith. You ever thought about that? I don't really think faith is what they needed. I would rather think that they would have need of patience with that brother for 7 times. Right? Well, I'm going to go on and... No, I can't. Y'all... Boy, it fit perfect. If y'all study about that, about Jesus brought up the mustard seed and He brought out some other stuff, a parable after that. I want us to start viewing faith and these miracles. I want us to really realize that these miracles that Jesus performed was not to showcase those people's faith, but the miracles were to draw those that had faith to Him and to separate those that did not. And did it not separate? How many times do we read, and there was a division among them? The Lord keeps dividing, or people are divided over the Lord. Many times. He said, I'm come to set division in one place. Now, I want us to start looking at faith as a lot of times we just realize, or we think, that faith is just an evidence. Right? Because when people says have faith, what they're talking about is exercising your faith. They're not talking about faith as the substance part. I asked Mama on the way over here, I said, Mama, what? It says faith is a substance. And I said, what is that? What's substance? And she goes, well, if you're going to make a pie, you get all your stuff together and put it together and you'll have your pie. And I said, well, maybe, kind of. But that word substance is not just an ingredient. Substance, break the word down. What does sub mean? It means under. What does stance mean? Is where you stand in. So what is substance? It's a foundation. It's your foundation. It's what you stand upon. So if faith is ours, is both a substance and an evidence. And if you're standing upon something and you don't know what it is you're standing upon, how in the world could you exercise? I want y'all to start thinking about faith as a substance. I know you already have a lot of thoughts about faith as an evidence, but I want us to really ponder on faith as a substance. Because that's what it is. Foundation. Jesus is certainly pleased when those who have faith exercise it. Right? I mean, don't you agree? If I gave, well, it goes back to the talents. The parable of the talents. He gave them. Some people might have a little bit. I mean, he asked the disciples so many times, "Where is your faith? Oh, ye of little faith." And I'm going to preach a sermon talking about Jesus marveling, because he marveled at some men's faith. He wondered at some men's faith. And he also wondered at some men's unbelief. You ever thought about that? It's a good study. It's a good study. Let's start thinking about faith as a substance. It's like where we stand. Doors of the church are open for reception of members, should any have that great desire to come and be part of this church family, to worship God with us as a church, part of the church body. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.